Welcome to Laugh It Up Fuzzball. I am Joe the Wookiee Riot. Welcome to the podcast where we talk about life, the universe, and everything, but mostly geek stuff. A place where we get to let our geek flag fly and talk about all things geek. As I've said before, this isn't an amalgamation of geek news or a comprehensive guide to all genres or the world of geekdom. Hopefully it's just a fun place to cover some geek news, comics, The Simpsons, Star Wars, and whatever randomness finds its way onto the recording. But let us get started.
Well, hey, friends, welcome to level 389 of Laugh It Up Fuzzball. And no, just me and you. What have lately been shorter news catch-up episodes where we go over the different things. And this week's episode is no different than any others, other than it should go up on a late Sunday night, early Sunday morning, unlike me just forgetting to post last week. And you know, it is what it is, free podcast and such. But we're getting closer and closer to level 400, which means I really do need to talk to the boys about what we're going to do for another milestone episode. I don't know how this podcast keeps going as it does, but you know, but don't ask questions, just let it happen, I suppose. We're just going to get in the news so I can finish up and get some sleep and go to work tomorrow, which sounds like a plan. Always starting with the Triple F, the Fantabulous Fuzzballs Focus, where we talk about whatever news is dropped on the Laugh at a Fuzzballs Facebook group, plug, and maybe some comments or whatnot. But there wasn't actually too much since last time we did this in the 2 weeks. Of course, our semi-official news mofo, Marshall Danny of the Greater Fuzzball Territories, the Duke of Deuce, is busy doing nursing school. But honestly, he would probably tell you light news weeks. And that actually does seem to be the case. It doesn't seem like that much stuff has dropped. And you know, that's fine sometimes. There's shows to watch. There's other things. So, you know, it is what it is. But I, chronologically, was the first person to post since the last episode. And the first thing I posted was just a really fun YouTube video to share with everybody. It was the Outer Rim Halloween display. This is from a maker who lives in Oregon, who I got the pleasure to meet at Batu on the mean streets of Black Spire Outpost. Met this great maker. He was taking pictures of blaster holes in the architecture of Black Spire Outpost, and of course I was like big fan of war holes, huh? I don't know if that's exactly how I said it, but we struck up a conversation, and I got a challenge coin from him, which was really nice. Like, theouterrim.com is where you can find all sorts of stuff if you ever wanted to own your very own Hydra spanner. He makes things like that, and you know, actually the price seem pretty okay, where I'm considering myself getting one of his Hydra spanners, although it would have been something that I would have put on my vest at work, my Falcon vest working for Hondo Onaka, but there are reasons why those things can't be worn right now, and blah, blah, blah. We're not going to talk shop about being a Batuan who works for Hondo Onaka at this juncture, but yeah, he makes really cool stuff, and every Halloween he makes a badass display. The video is super dope, just things that he makes and the way he transforms his front yard into this wonderful Star Wars Halloween thing is just freaking rad. And you should check it out if you didn't already. It's really, really cool. I also posted the trailer for The Crow. This movie coming our way June 7th, 2024. I talked about people, you know, saw the images of Skarsgård as the character that was made famous by Brandon Lee. Rest in power, Sir Lee. Sir Lee, he was knighted. Surely he was not. But yeah, Brandon Lee, just the tragedy of his passing while filming The Crow, and then just how it's taken five ever in a day for them to actually make another Crow movie happen. You know, the trailer, it's a good trailer. It's got much more modern sensibilities. It's not steeped in the 90s like that first The Crow film was. And it definitely looks much better than any of the sequels that they did for the Crow movies. And I think it could be an enjoyable watch. You know, June 7th, I don't have a list in front of me of everything that's coming out in 2024 right now. But, you know, it could be a good time to go see a flick. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm into the fact that this movie exists So, yeah, I think I just pulled up a list while I was vamping. So in June, it's up against Ballerina, which is the John Wick spinoff. It is also up against Inside Out 2, and I guess the Furiosa Mad Max Saga comes out May 24th. So does Garfield and Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. So ostensibly, those movies may still be in theaters competing against it. So we'll see if the Crow has the chutzpah to go up against to go up against Inside Out 2, I suppose. I don't know. I can't tell you, friends. I just work here. I don't even know what I do here could be considered work, since we have clearly established that there's no pay that happens for it. But yeah, we'll see what The Crow is when it comes out in June, and hopefully somebody sees it. Of course, Inside Out 2 is coming out June 14th, so it's sitting all by its lonesome June 7th. And other than the Ballerina movie that it will be going up against. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm very curious, honestly. And the still images that I saw of Skarsgård as the Crow, yeah, I got the comparisons where everybody was like, really? Like Jared Leto in the Suicide Squad? But then watching the film and actually seeing it moving and the shots that they had, that's not the vibes I got. It just was a modern take on the Crow story. And it's a classic murder revenge love story, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. Hopefully it's pretty good. In other wild news, Patty Jenkins claims that Rogue Squadron is back on. Just when you thought it was over, you know, maybe there is a world where Rogue Squadron could actually be a thing. She's no longer, you know, tied up with DC and Wonder Woman 3 and has freedom. I think the true long and short of it is some sort of contract where she gets paid to do a script. And that contract still exists. Apparently, there was some action on it before the strike. And now she's got to write a script. Maybe she writes something so great that they're like, hot dog, we really should make this movie. Does that mean Patty Jenkins is going to direct it? I have no clue. I've not read the contracts. But I do know, you know, when she talked about her father, who was a fighter pilot, and wanting to pay homage to him and tell a great story in Rogue Squadron. People love those games, you know what I mean? And if it's anything like that, no matter what timeline it's set in, could be really, really fun. I mean, heck, if you want to give me some Carson Teva as the leader of Rogue Squadron, yes, please, and thank you. So, I don't know. Just interesting that it's back. You know, the only thing that we know that for sure is happening is we're getting the Mandalorian and Grogu film, and then I think the Rey film will be after that, but I've already heard some rumors in the wind that apparently that film is troubled, and they're not quite sure how it's all going to work out. And then there's also maybe an older Helen Mirren as Rey film being written by Sean Levy. And whatever Taika, you know, when Taika every night writes a couple sentences in a Star Wars script. And then, you know, Rian Johnson technically still on the hook. And then the James Mangold, you know, old Republic. The Republic. So There are lots of potential things in three movies that we know about, being the origin of the Force, the Rey movie, and the Mandalorian and Grogu film, and then also Dave Filoni's like wrap up for the Mandoverse. So, yeah, lots of stuff potentially coming, and the only one that we really have to have on our radar as of this point is Mandalorian and Grogu, which is, I still think, is not a very great title, but you know, they'll call the movie what they want to call it. Other news that I just posted tonight, because I saw it in my feed when I was typing up these show notes, watching a Doctor Who episode, and I was like, oh, I was going to share that. Sir Anthony Hopkins starring in the Island of Dr. Moreau remake. Forget Val Kilmer and Marlon Brando in that weird film. Now, I mean, Marlon Brando is a great actor. I mean, Troubled, and lots of interesting stories about him. But a very good method actor. Sir Anthony Hopkins, also an amazing, amazing actor. What just really struck me so crazy about the article, and I think it was MovieWeb that put it up, but don't quote me on that. But just, why use... I get that they use the cover of the book, because that's a much better way to show the Island of Dr. Moreau, that classic H.G. Wells story. But why Anthony Hopkins as Odin? I don't know. Whoever chose, like, maybe just because that's one of the best images of him older. I don't know. I showed my wife. I said, "Look at this," and she was like, "Oh, why'd they choose the Odin image?" And I was like, "Okay, so it's not just me." So, think what you want. I'm interested in what they could do with this. I mean, the Island of Dr. Moreau is just a bonkers story. I actually don't know that Marlon Brando movie did a poor job of adapting the story, but if somebody wants to take another shot at it, hey, that could be interesting. Maybe even take it out of its timeline. It doesn't have to be set way in the past. It could have a more modern sensibility. Who knows? But I love Sir Anthony Hopkins. I love that he was Odin in the MCU. But I think when you look at his body of work, that's maybe not the only image that you should pick when you're showing him. Now, yes, everybody's like, "What do you want, Dr. Hannibal Lecter as the image?" No, I do not necessarily want his portrayal of Dr. Lecter to be the image. But I just think I think his storied career includes so much that you don't have to just that. I mean, heck, I would take his image from Meet Joe Black. Heck, he was in Rebel Moon, so you could do something there. He was in The Mask of Zorro, Legends of the Fall. I mean, so many great performances. That's just my little plug saying you should see Meet Joe Black. And he's gonna be in Rebel Moon Part 2. Definitely going to get more of that. But what a classic actor. I mean, hell, you could have him as Winston Churchill from that awful Transformers The Last Knight movie. You pick your preferred image. I mean, if I'm going with my like favorite portrayal when he was in Hearts in Atlantis, which is an adaptation of a Stephen King work, I really really like that. And Sir Anthony Hopkins, from Amistad to doing voice work for Beowulf, like he's just a really really freaking rad actor. And yes, most people got to know him when he did Silence of the Lambs, but he's done much more besides that. And he's such a really really freaking good actor. So many awards, including a Laurence Olivier Award. You know what I mean? He's great. And I think his body of work, movie web, is more than just Odin. Just saying. That's all the news for me. The Marshall also shared a few things. Netflix has renewed Avatar for 2 more seasons. So love it, hate it. The show did very well for Netflix, and they're gonna let the entire series wrap up. The animated was 3 seasons. And it appears that the live action is also going to be 3 seasons. And I'm not going to say anything more about Avatar: The Last Airbender just because I have scheduled this week an entire spoiler discussion of the show. So stay tuned for that, ostensibly this coming weekend. Danny also shared Lionsgate is apparently shopping TV series for John Wick and Twilight. I really laughed because Danny said they're going to need more guns. And I instantly thought of it as his opinion and critique of the Twilight TV show news. Like, yeah, just shoot it all, shoot it till it's dead. The Marshall firing from the hip. But I imagine what he really means. They're not going to need a lot of guns for the sparkly vampire show, but they would for John Wick stuff. Now, I know, I'm trying to think, believe there was actually a television show that was supposed to be happening for John Wick already. And while you can't hear the pause, actually, I had to look it up. Yeah, there was an entire The Continental from the world of John Wick, which I didn't even, I probably knew it at one point, but with Mel Gibson in it. But it apparently was on Peacock already, and you can watch it, and people are already wondering if there's going to be a second season. I actually haven't heard anybody say anything about that show that released September 22nd of last year. It was 3 episodes. And I don't know if it was any good. If you like it, drop a comment as I post this on the Laugh It Up Fuzzballs Facebook group. Plug, plug, plug. But apparently they want to do more TV shows. They're doing that Ballerina spinoff that I talked about when I talked about this stuff coming out in June. So yeah, they want to flesh out the world of John Wick. And people really enjoy that world and like all that stuff. So I get why they want to do that. Now Twilight, I feel like that's sort of a consequence of like Avatar getting a live action and them doing another version of Harry Potter. And then Percy Jackson being done on Disney Plus, like they're looking at this young adult fiction that everybody likes. And could that mean there's a world where, you know, 10 years from now we're looking at the Hunger Games or the Divergent series maybe being adapted for television? You know, often when the well has gone dry, they just look at the bottles of water that used to be in the well and decide to do more of it. We don't need to find new sources of water. Let's just re-drink all the water that we already drank. That'll be fine. Who cares that it's been excreted through our bodies and purified for your drinking again? Let's say, okay, it's water. Water, the constant. Water is life. It's late, sorry. Apologies. Danny also posted, Jax is launching a line of Simpsons figures and collectibles. You know, they make lots of different stuff, and now they're going to be tackling this show that's been running for 35 seasons. And just the image of the Krusty doll from Treehouse of Horror is enough to get me excited. But I also like that the word plushes was included in the news that was there. And for real, there's probably going to be something that I want from this, for sure. Including that Krusty doll. I'm wondering what size it is. It looks cool. Of course, money, who knows if I'll be able to afford any of it. But yeah, I like that the Simpsons is still getting some love in the stuff that people can purchase. Because Lord knows I love the Simpsons. In fact, tonight I looked to see if there was a new Simpsons episode as I was laying the Sean guy down. But there wasn't. So that's okay. That's okay, because the show keeps continuing. For a lot of people, they've never lived in a world where there weren't new episodes of it. And for me, only like 8-9 years of my life that there wasn't. So it's been omnipresent as I've existed, and something that I really, really like. I also really, really enjoy meeting new people and finding that they also very much enjoy The Simpsons. Shout out to my buddy Mario at work. I was like, it's nice to find Simpsons fans. Because, you know, there's less and less of us. They're not capturing as many young fans as they did once upon a time. So, you know, it is what it is. But I think there's so much. It's always going to be available in some way, shape, or form. You know, where just like when I was a kid, how the Flintstones and the Jetsons still exist. And I guess they're not doing anything with those anymore, but they're still available to watch, and all that old Hanna-Barbera. And the Simpsons, just there's so much of it. So thank the maker. There's always going to be a way to have my favorite yellow family in my life. Danny also posted the newest Fallout trailer. All episodes of the show are going to be airing on April 11th. And honestly, this looks so freaking cool. I did not play that video game, but this show looks super dope. And as I was watching the trailer, I literally had the thought, you know, I got Heather to watch The Last of Us with me. And we're coming up. We just finished a show that we're watching, and we're starting to watch another show. But this is April 11th. I'm like, maybe this is a new show that I bring into my marital bed, so to speak. Because it looks really cool. And my wife has watched some dystopia with me before. So maybe there's... Now, what I think is really interesting is that Amazon Prime, you know, that we're getting all the episodes dropped together. Now, they're not doing the... You know, drop in three and then whatever. Does this spell a difference for the way that they release things? I don't know. They'll have to see how this drop goes. I always, you know, it's just a weird world, because when you do the every week model, it does stay in the zeitgeist of the social media for longer. People stay engaged and talk about things as long as they're good things, you know, for a longer period of time, versus the binge model. Everything drops. It is a point of relevancy for a little while. People do talk about it, but then, you know, as other things come out and there's new binges, then your thing potentially gets forgotten. We'll have to see. I honestly sort of hope that they don't do that. I like having the new episode every week, but I don't make these decisions, and we'll just have to see how it is. But I'm curious to watch it, but I'm like, if I watch it with my wife, it's going to take us several weeks to get through everything. And does that mean there's going to be spoilers or whatnot? Like, yeah. So, yeah. We'll just have to wait and see. But this looks dope. It looks really freaking cool. And I cannot wait to see it. To enjoy it. It's high on the list of things that I want to watch when they come out. Danny also puts the news. Black Mirror is getting a 7th season. This is dropping sometime in 2025 with 6 new episodes. And they're like, plus one six new episodes with one that looks familiar. And what that is a sequel to the USS Callister episode, which was in season 4 of Black Mirror. Now, full admission, I have not seen all that much of Black Mirror, and that's my own fault. I know that the seasons aren't crazy, that they're, you know, 6 episodes or less when they drop stuff. I've probably seen 2 or 3 seasons of the show. I did watch some of it with my wife, who was like, "This show's weird. You can watch it by yourself." So she watched a few of the episodes with me. And just, you know, there's so much stuff to watch. Never got around to finishing it. It is on my list of something that I would like to. And especially that USS Callister episode. Everybody really liked that. I think that came out when there wasn't as much Star Trek content for people to enjoy. And now there's been lots of stuff. And lots of Star Wars or Star Trek adjacent stuff for people to check out. So, you know, it's nice that people like that and that they're going to do a sequel episode. And if you really enjoyed that, good news for you. More because all those characters are coming back and you'll get to see what the next adventure is for that crew in the world of Black Mirror. Also, the news that we're getting a Teen Titans live action movie in the DC universe. I do not remember Teen Titans being one of the things for that phase one of the DC universe that James Gunn, the gods and monsters, if you will, James Gunn announced. Now, that announcement was a while ago, and I don't have it memorized, so maybe it was on there. It seems a little strange on the heels of Titans ending on Max. I get that all that stuff existed pre-DCU. Now all the television and movies should, I put a big should on there, be connected in this universe. You know, people love the Teen Titans, and I'm not surprised. This news, like, there's no casting or a date for it. What it is Anna Negri, who is also the writer on Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, is penning the script. So apparently they liked her work so much on that, that she's getting a stab at the Teen Titans. And people love the property, and if it's a great movie, then it's a win for everybody. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we'll have to see how it all shakes out. And the last little news thing, just from the Fuzzballs Focus, is my beautiful wife dropped the Rapunzel cup for Danny. Now, if you're like me and you're like, I didn't realize that Danny was such a big fan of Rapunzel. He is not, although he should be now. The long and short, I love my wife. I love her so incredibly much. And she does her damnedest to stay engaged in all this silly geekery that we enjoy. And she saw the cup, didn't recognize the star from Rapunzel, and thought it was Frog Lady from The Mandalorian, and thought it would be funny for Danny to have a coffee cup where Frog Lady was like immersed in coffee and then revealed itself. You know what I mean? And that's why she posted it. And Danny 100% knew that that's where she was going. And I just love it. I love it. And I will tell you, friends, sometimes when you're in a loving relationship, yeah, you let those things go. My wife knows now that it's not Frog Lady, but it's so delicate to try and find a way, because I love that woman so much. She's so freaking great. I love her adding to the discourse. And you know what I mean? Not everything I say is 100% perfect, for damn sure. But I'll tell you, my wife is. She's great. I love her. So thanks, babe, if you're listening. If you're not, that's okay. His wife doesn't even listen. Hey, she's got her own life and her own geeky things to do. So I let her live her best life so that I can live mine. Because when she is, so am I. That's all the Fantabulous Fuzzballs Focus. There's a few more news things. We could do a couple things for Let the Wookiee Win. Talk some Star Wars. If you did not see, Ahmed Best teased more for him in Star Wars. Basically, he posted an image of him in a mocap suit. And then, of course, in his nod, drops the worst fan theory ever of Darth Jar Jar, which gets everybody talking. No, I don't think that Ahmed Best was put into a mocap suit to do something for Star Wars so they could do some damn gum Darth Jar Jar. I think he's just a smart guy and knows how to get people talking about things. But I do think it is incredibly exciting that he's doing mocap for something, and I can't wait to see what it is, because Ahmed Best deserves the best of everything. He surely does. And then just another little Star Wars thing, if you're watching The Bad Batch, I've seen all 7 episodes of Season 3, thoroughly enjoying Season 3, 100%, we'll be talking about it, and if it carries on at this pace, spouting all sorts of love for the show. But they introduced a new card game called Balans, which is, you should check it out. It's it's the first new thing since Sabacc that I can think of, other than like Chance Dice in Episode 1. And I really hope it's maybe something that we see more of. And actually, if it's somebody creates the actual cards where you could play it. I'm a big fan of these in-game games, especially because of the things I do with Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So I would very much like to see real-life Balans. And I just wanted to share, it's Balaans, check it out. It's pretty freaking cool. And then we just have some geeky flavors to talk about. If you didn't see, House of the Dragon Season 2 is going to be premiering in June. So if you've been biting at the bit for more House of the Dragon, it's all done. I'm sure we're going to get a trailer or something somewhere here in the future. And sometime in June, we get to return to all the mystery and intrigue of House Targaryen, and the infighting and murder and incest and dragon fire, dragon blood, dragon love. So June, exciting, not far away at all. I read this interesting article about Dune Part 2. Apparently, the movie only cost $190 million to make, which is, it's a whole lot of dollars, don't get me wrong, but they were comparing it to a lot of other box office stuff, which have much higher price tags, and the first one, $165 million, so they were just pointing out that Denis Villeneuve is able to make these beautiful, beautiful looking movies with lots of special effects, and not breaking the $200 million mark. Like finding a way to come under, which does add to the profitability of a film. Now, that's the price tag. I don't know if that includes all the marketing and everything. Usually when you have that, you're going to be adding another $100 million for marketing. I mean, hell, somebody had to spend some money on those Dune popcorn buckets that people were trying to hump. So it just was it's interesting just to consider that really, really good movies are made for less money than these extravagant budgets of these big blockbusters. And do we need to get back to a world where things are cheaper, you know what I mean? Just so things can be profitable. I don't know the way of the world. I know everything in my life feels like it is incredibly more expensive post-pandemic. So I'm not sure how realistic it is to completely get back to that. But yeah, interesting. And for $190 million, it's a pretty, pretty movie. It sure is. Let me tell you. There is, I guess, I don't know. Well, so it's, I think of it as a rumor, but it's also potentially news because the article I read was from Forbes, which does have to do with budgets and stocks and trading and all that stuff. But the long and short is that the rumor is that Eternals 2, Captain Marvel 3, and Ant-Man 4 are all canceled in a Disney world that wants to be risk-averse. They have this time off where the only movie coming out for the MCU this year is Deadpool and Wolverine. And they're trying to figure out, you know, what's going next. We know Fantastic Four is happening. We know there's going to be more Avengers films, one of them Secret Wars, and one of them maybe Kang Dynasty. Although I have seen stuff where maybe it's not going to be Kang Dynasty. And Captain America, New World Order, The Thunderbolts. And those are the only movies that are really popping. And the Blade movie. So we're getting more movies. But it appears Eternals, no return for them. Which is really a bummer. I enjoyed that first movie. Actually, a lot of my friends really enjoyed that movie. So I don't know all the people that really, really hate it. But we're not going to get to see more for the gang and Thanos' brother. Captain Marvel 3, I mean, that wasn't even something that was announced. Work on Shang-Chi 2 before you work on any of those for crying out loud. But apparently they're not interested in that in Ant-Man 4. So apparently there's probably people working on these things, and they've just decided not to. And that's sort of a bummer, because I think Brie Larson was the best that she's ever been in the Marvels. And I would hate for them to just, you know, bench the character of Kamala Khan. I think Paul Rudd as Ant-Man is freaking great. I like Evangeline Lilly as the Wasp. And, you know, they could get back to that classic formula of the heist stuff if they wanted to. But it's completely up to them. You know what I mean? We'll just have to, we'll get the content that we're going to get. That's it. And then just the last little thing is some geeky Oscars. If you didn't watch the Oscars, I honestly did not. I caught the highlights at the end. But it was so, like, even though this is, you know, the elite of Hollywood tooting their own horns and giving most of the awards only to a couple movies, and then, you know, a nod or two to I don't want to say lesser movies, but what maybe some people think of as lesser movies. But there still was a lot of geek stuff interspersed throughout there. I mean, the fact Studio Ghibli wins a Best Animated, that's super dope. I have not seen The Boy and the Heron. But, you know, Miyazaki, it's just, yeah, him winning an Oscar, his team winning an Oscar, it's freaking great. It's freaking lovely. And, yeah, he won over Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And, yes, I did see all the hubbub about Shameik Moore being a sore loser and people coming at him on social media. But just the fact that a Spider-Man movie was nominated for Best Animated is freaking dope. And yes, the Ghibli one probably is almost like the version of a legacy award. But I'm sure that movie's freaking beautiful, because all the Ghibli stuff is great. So I don't, you know what I mean? It's they picked what they picked, but I love the narrative of Ghibli winning. It's very similar to Iron Man winning an Oscar. Robert Downey Jr., you know, for his performance in Oppenheimer, getting a Best Supporting Actor Oscar. It's that, you know, he apparently was freaking amazing. I've not seen Oppenheimer yet. But, yeah, the comeback story, you know, and the fact that Robert Downey Jr. is a good actor. And he is our Iron Man. He was in a lot of freaking films. And now, you know, your actor that you like has an Oscar. And granted, it's for work in something outside the MCU. But it's still the same actor bringing those chops. Godzilla Minus Zero. Or minus one, getting that special effects win. Hey, that's freaking dope. Super, super cool. It gives a lot of credit to that film. And let's talk about a film with a much smaller budget. Toho doing that and just doing, I haven't not seen it, but I don't know a single person who hasn't praised it to high heaven. I like that Ludwig Göransson, yes, he won for Oppenheimer, but he also won for Black Panther. And had part in Mandalorian music. So a geek composer. I mean, just Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger egging on Michael Keaton as Batman villains. It's so freaking good. You had, what's his noodle? Peacemaker himself, John Cena, showing up naked just to be in solidarity with a potential future IATSE strike, which could impact Hollywood. Then, you know, they did a song from the Barbies, but just not the Barbies. That's the sequel. but the Barbie movie with Ryan Gosling, you know, singing on stage. But Shuri Gatwa, who was in the Barbie movie, who is also the new Doctor, dancing on the stage. And, you know, Doctor Who dancing in a Barbie song. Man, there's just all sorts of geeky goodness, and I think that's freaking cool that's the world that we live in. So, yeah, I just figured I'd share it. Geeky watches, I very, very much enjoyed the Dune movie, but I would like to talk about it much more in depth later on with some people that have. I am all caught up on The Simpsons, because there's not any new Simpsons coming. There was a 12th episode that dropped a couple weeks ago. Lisa being a go-kart F1 driver, it was cute, it was fun. I did finish For All Mankind season 3 and season 4 with the wife, and God, I love that show. I cannot wait for season 4 and the time jump to 2012. It's just so freaking good, but I could talk more about it another time. I finished the second season of Quantum Leap. That show's dope. Really, really good. I did rewatch The Marvels, and I liked it just as much as I did the first time. A whole bunch of Doctor Who. In fact, while I was writing show notes for this, like I said, I was watching Doctor Who. I've gone through all the episodes for David Tennant, all the episodes for Matt Smith, and I'm about 3/4 of the way done with episodes for Peter Capaldi. So, coming for you, Jodie Whittaker. I'm coming for you. I did watch the entirety of Avatar The Last Airbender. I will talk about that with a couple of my friends here this Wednesday. Bad Batch, all 7 episodes. Like I said, really liked it. Dune Part 2, enjoyed very much. Shogun, oh, that show is freaking great. 4 episodes are out so far. I think it's a 10-episode total for the show. Really, really love it. Because me and the wife finished For All Mankind, I did watch the first episode of Manhunt. There's 2 episodes of that out. It's detailing the manhunt for Lee Harvey Oswald and his conspirators in the assassination of Abraham Lincoln and attempted killings of other people on his cabinet. So far, so good. The first episode, the pilot, was very enjoyable. And then just today, me the Sean guy, and his mom watched Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken. The latest, no, not the, the Illumination film that came out last year. But it was cute. It's on Netflix. If you got kiddos, it's worth a watch. It's sort of, me and the wife were like, it's like Turning Red, only different. But there were some similarities in that regard. But yeah, it was a cute movie and an enjoyable animated watch. So that's it. Like, Simpsons still exists. For All Mankind on Apple TV Plus. God, that show is so freaking dope. Oh, it's so good. Wow, it just wows me, and I'm so glad that I finally joined the conversation. I really, really, really love that show. Quantum Leap, such a great return. It's so tied into the original that it's just like a lovely continuation of the show. If you didn't watch Marvels yet, it is on Disney Plus. Check it out. I am watching Doctor Who, if you're curious. Everything pre-Disney, so before the specials that lead into Shurigawa, is available on Max. So that is how I'm watching Doctor Who. Avatar The Last Airbender on Netflix. I think it's good. I think you should check it out. We'll talk more later. Bad Batch on Disney Plus. Dune Part 2 in theaters. Shogun on Hulu. And then Manhunt is Apple TV Plus. And Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken on Netflix. So those are all things that I've checked out. And you should check it out too. I've not watched the second part of Invincible Season 2 yet. I really, really want to. I just haven't gotten to it yet. There's a bunch more shows coming our way. Star Trek Discovery, Season 5, X-Men 97, Knuckles. I've not watched any of Halo Season 2 yet. So, you know what I mean? They're all things that are on my list. I just, I've lately just been watching a lot of Doctor Who when I have a chance. But of course, watching The Bad Batch and other shows. So, that's about it. That's this episode of the podcast. You know the drill. Leave me an email at laughitupfuzzballpodcast@gmail.com. You can also contact me on social media. X, Threads, Blue Sky, and Instagram at Wookie Riot, WOOKIEERIOT. You want to support the podcast? You can, of course, do that through Spotify for podcasters. I'm sure there's some button you can hit which just says donate. Brr. If you want to, I would prefer you go to tpublic.com/user/laugh-it-up-fuzzball or search Laugh It Up Fuzzball on the search bar at tpublic.com. And buy a sticker or a shirt or a tote bag or something. Get yourself some tangible evidence of your listening to the podcast. That's my preferred way for you to support the podcast. Every once in a while, there'll be a little drop that somebody bought a sticker or a shirt or something. It always makes me very happy inside. Not because it's making me rich in any way, shape, or form, but just because I know somebody, somewhere out there, you're connected to the podcast. Man, I should watch An American Tale with Shawnee. But yeah, now I'm on tangents. That's how I know it's late. Email, social media, TeePublic, Join the Laugh It Up Fuzzballs Facebook group. Plug, plug, plug. If you haven't, it is a closed group, but you ask to join, and we say yes. You join over 700 geeks with the ability to talk geeky whenever you desire. And I think that's all the things. That's going to wrap up this level of the podcast. And until the next time, TTFN, Wookie out.